So let me recap hour number one very quickly. I am Jim Rome. Welcome back. I mentioned how horrible Thursday Night Football is. Not was, but is. Gardner Minshew did his best to try and salvage it or save it. He was unable to do so, although he was awesome. Caitlin Savage in Texas emailed saying she wants to have his babies. Mark in Hollywood called the program and got loose, but not nice. And then I thought John in New York was calling, but in reality it was Jeff in Southfield clowning John hard. And it was not funny, but many of you seem to think it was funny. That was the flight deck. So in response, the Suave Canuck tweets, "Holy crap, best call day ever." Wow, we've taken two telephone calls. One got run and one should have been run. "Dear Jim, I am crying too. Jeff in Southfield is a comedian." I thought he was until he made that call. There was nothing funny about that call. Like I said, low-hanging fruit. He mocked a guy who has a pronounced accent who loves the show. How hard is that? It's not hard at all. He did a John in New York impression. That's like having a Jim Rome impression. Everybody has one. It's not hard. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so the program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We are efforting Deion Jones. He is a Pro Bowler for the Atlanta Falcons, and we are looking to go back-to-back to start hour number two. Deion Jones, Justin Verlander is joining me at 20 past the hour. The third hour is always busy on a Friday. I've got the week that was, and I've got a lot more to get to. 1-800-636-8686. Our phone lines are open. Let's go to the phones as I'm efforting my guest. Florida, Trent. It's good to have you, Trent. How are you?
Jim. Good, Jim. Jim Rome, man in the box. Tough to be in the batter's box today on the phones in the jungle. But anyhow,
Alvin! You don't damn,
like
Alvin!
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Wow. Again, I laid this out last hour. I do not have that button. There's no red button under my desk. There's no hammer on my desk. Alvin, why did you run Trent in Florida? What did he do? Alvin's response to me was, quote, "Get to your call. We do not have time." Alvin, I know you're really busy and we, quote, don't have time. Could you play that back for me really quickly? I want to hear what this guy did that was so egregious. I want to hear how this guy was wasting all your time. All he did, he was a little bit surprised that I went to him, and all he said was, "Hey, man in the box. It's going to be tough to dig into the batter's box, given who's come before me." And then you hammer this guy. Florida, Trent. It's good to have you, Trent. How are you?
Jim. Good, Jim. Jim Rome, man in the box. Tough to be in the batter's box today on the phones in the jungle. But anyhow, appreciate it.
Alvin! What was so egregious about that? Alvin, you are being, you're like the commissioner. You're like Roger Goodell. You're being very inconsistent in the way you dole out punishment today, Alvin. I don't even know you, Alvin. Like, you let Mark go on and on and on and on. And this guy can say anything at all. Mark can. And then this guy just comes in, just says, "Hey, yeah, what's going on? Man in the box." And then you break him off. Alvin's all, "Yeah, so I'm warming up in the bullpen, and it's kind of tough to dig into the batter's box today, you know, Rome, what with there being a fight at the bat rack and all, and everybody trying to..." All right, so that said, it's been a really weird day on the phones. It's a Friday. It's been a very strange day. Keep that in mind. You don't know what you're going to get. I get Mark in Hollywood calling up and should have been run probably five times, but wasn't. Then I get a guy calling up pretending to be John in New York. I mean, it's one thing to pretend to be Silk, right? There's a fake Silk. I would not expect a fake John in New York. And then that guy gets run for nothing?
Come on.
Come on. Come on. Let's reset. Let's reboot. Let's get this thing right. So again, going back to Tom Brady. Brady, like the rest of us, was watching that game last night. Brady, like the rest of us, did not like what he was seeing last night. Brady, like the rest of us, took to Twitter to complain about what he saw last night. That's how many penalties there were. So many penalties that I thought that somebody hacked into Tom Brady's Twitter account to post a complaint. The first tweet read, and I quote, this is from Tom Brady. Too many penalties, just let us play. With 4 exclamation points. Hashtag 10 versus Jack. I mean, seriously, that had to be a hack job, right? There's no way Tom Brady would just be tweeting about some other team's games. There's no way Tom Brady would be using the TEN versus JAC hashtag. I mean, that's weird. You can even argue to me that, yeah, well, Brady is weird. Yeah, maybe a little, but that's weird. My first thought was that was some tool with a parody account that was looking to hook a few dopes. So I took a second look at it, and sure enough, it had that verified blue check. So I knew that was Tom Brady. And I'll finish that thought in a minute. As promised, we're joined right now by a linebacker for the Atlanta Falcons, a 2017 Pro Bowler. 7 tackles in week 2 against Philadelphia, 297 tackles, 27 pass defenses, 15 tackles for a loss, 8 interceptions, and 3 touchdowns in his first 3 seasons. He played his college ball at LSU, Atlanta 1-1. And they're at Indianapolis on Sunday. Big game. That's a CBS game. In fact, Deion Jones is my guest. Deion, good to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
How y'all doing?
Good, man. I'm great, Deion. Great to have you. So I know you're focused on the Colts. Really good game. I appreciate it, too. Take me back really quickly, if you don't mind, to Philadelphia. You were coming off a tough loss to Minnesota. What was the mood and the mentality among the players before that game this past weekend?
Really just correct our corrections and get back on track. The first game wasn't how we wanted to start, but, you know, things happen and we can only start, you know, from where we at. And we looked at the game and, you know, we realized what we had to get better. You know, we try to bring that forward to this Sunday, and we try to keep it going.
All right, so one more thought about that game last Sunday. On defense, you guys got after Carson Wentz. You hit him really hard. I mean, you're part of a very physical, tough defense. I know you're never looking to hurt anybody on the field, but how would you describe the attitude and the approach of the defense?
We try to be, you know, every year we come and talk about the identity that we want as a defense, you know, fast, physical, and, you know, a defense that people have to look, you know, want that have to look out for us, you know. And it's going to take every week and every day of practice to do that. So we've just been working at it every day and keep trying to get better, keep trying to get closer, and keep trying to put that style of play on the field every week.
Atlanta Falcons linebacker Deion Jones is joining us. So what was your reaction when you saw Julio Jones catch that pass on fourth down and take it the distance?
Oh, man, that's greatness at a great moment, you know. It was a great check by Matt, a great block by Sanu and Jake, and who did the rest with the speed. And I mean, that's just about us being on our details and executing when it's time to finish. So that's what we try to embody as a team, and that's how we rock, and that's how we got to keep going.
We are talking to Deion Jones. Key phrase there, Deion, is that's how we finish, because after that touchdown, you still had some work to do on defense to close that game out. Head coach Dan Quinn said, quote, I remember talking to Deion, and he said, we've got this, Q. He smiled at me, and I said, all right, I know it. Let's go finish it off, end quote. Mm-hmm. How good did it feel to finish that game off with that defensive stop on fourth down?
We always talk about being closers, being finishers. And I wanted to make sure that Q knew that, you know, that's the mindset that we're having for this drive, and made sure I portrayed that same message, relayed that same message to my guys, and we stood in there. You know, the whole drive didn't go as we planned, but, you know, everything happened the way that we envisioned it. I was getting off the field and coming down with a fourth down stop, and, you know, closing it out the way we wanted to.
Deion Jones, my guest. All right, so that was then. This is now. You had a big win. Another big challenge coming up. You've got the Colts and Jacoby Brissett. As you get ready for that challenge, what kind of thoughts do you have, and how do they look to you?
This whole process has been fun. I've never played the Colts, so trying to figure out, you know, what all they do and the style of ball that they play. And, you know, they're a good team, ACC team. You know, they like to run the ball, got a good back, got big guys up front. You know, wideouts that can get the ball. I mean, just an NFL team that could beat you any week if you allow them. So just a matter of doing what we got to do and being on our details and playing our style of ball to get a win.
You know, watching you, one of the things that you're known for is your ability to shut down underneath receivers and either break up the pass or stop them immediately after catching it. How do you go about doing that? What's the secret to your technique?
I can honestly say it's just my style of play. I don't want to let my brothers down. I want to be there when I'm supposed to be there, and flying around is the least I can do for them.
You know what, though? Saying that and putting it the way you did, it makes me think about last season when you missed time with a foot injury. You want to be there for your brothers, right? So when you go through something like that, how challenging was that? And do you come back and appreciate the game even more when you get that chance to play once again?
Yeah, I really missed the time that I had out there with my boys, you know, being out. And it was hard, but they kept me in it, you know, knowing that, you know, they got it. They just take care of be there to help and take care of what I have to take care of so I can come back and, you know, play with them. And that's pretty much was the biggest thing. And, man, it ended up working out pretty well and being able to come back and doing what I was able to do. It just felt good and got a higher appreciation for the game because, you know, people say it could be gone any day. And just think about it, the Eagles game was gone the first game of the season. So, you know, you got to appreciate the game now.
Deion Jones, my guest, you do. But the thing about coming back is when you come back after you missed 10 games the way you did, the team was 4-7. It would have been easier just to sit out the rest of the year, rest for the season, get ready for the following season. But that's not what you did. You made it a point to get back out there and play again last season. Even though the team was not going to make the playoffs, why was it so important to get back out there?
I can honestly say I built the bond with this defense throughout the whole offseason in camp. And in the league, every season it's a different team. And with the bond that I have with those guys, I kind of wanted to finish it out because, you know, with the season that we had and all that, you never know if this is going to be the same defense again. So having those reps out there with those guys and, you know, just finishing out a season was big for me.
So you recently signed a 4-year extension, and you did so over the summer, so that means you're going to be with Atlanta for a while longer. After that deal was announced, Tyrann Mathieu tweeted to congratulate you, and he said in part, quote, "Man, I remember playing against you in high school, bro. Watching your growth as we went to the same school. You wanted it so much. Still remember your moms and pops, good people. So happy for you, man. One love, forever LSU, forever New Orleans." What did it mean to get that message and that kind of love from him?
Oh, man, I've been knowing T since high school, like he said, and just always had my nose on the grindstone. I never like took my eyes off focus no matter what happened. And that's just how I'm built. I don't back down. I don't quit. And I guess it's showing. And it was good to hear that also. And I'm happy about the deal. I'm glad to be in Atlanta for another 4 years. And like I said, it's going to be great.
Dude, I'll tell you what. You got to win now. I've got nothing to do with any of it, but to see him tweet at you like that, I thought was really cool. So really quickly, as everybody knows,
that's how close we are at LSU. That's the crazy thing.
Right, exactly. I was going to say, there's some serious, and not only that, but there's some serious high school talent in Louisiana. What were those days like of playing for Jesuit and going up against other big-time schools in that state?
It's actually pretty fun. You know, just the amount of competition that's in New Orleans and in the Catholic League and all around. And then you start seeing these guys, like playing with these guys in college, and then come to find out, like some of these guys are also in the league too. So just seeing how all of us are like accomplishing our dreams and still pushing and still, you know, alive in this game is dope. And you know, you still have, you know, a lot of passion in it, and you know, trying to play for people back home. You know, so that's part of what we do it for.
Dan, I see it when you play, and I can hear it in your voice, man. There's a lot of pride and a lot of passion and a lot of heart. Atlanta's 1-1. They're at Indianapolis on Sunday. Another big game. It's a 1 p.m. Eastern game on CBS. Deion Jones, my guest. Deion, great to have you back. I really appreciate that. Have a great weekend. I hope we can do it again soon.
I appreciate it. You have a good one, too.
You too, Deion. Great talking to you. Deion Jones. That's a great conversation. Really good player. Like I said, man, I love the guys who come on and they're engaged. And they're into it, and their pride, and their passion, and their love, and their heart, and their grit are just coming right through the phone. It's not a guy going through the motions. That's not a guy who's mailing it in. Love a conversation like that. When we come back, Got a future Hall of Famer now, Justin Verlander. And he's still doing it at an extremely high level. Makes his return to the jungle. That's coming up next segment. Dell has got something extra for small businesses. Up to 45% off during their semi-annual sale. It is a perfect time to update to Windows 10 with enormous deals on business computers featuring Intel Core processors and free shipping on everything. Call small business technology advisors who can help you achieve your business goals affordably with low monthly payments on the right tech for you. Simply call 877-BUY-DELL, 877-BUY-DELL, or go to dell.com/business deals for semi-annual sales savings.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Back. I'm Jim Rome. Fact is, anytime a guest says yes to appearing on this show, I have great appreciation for it, great admiration. It means they're making time. It means they respect the process and the program, or they wouldn't say yes. So I appreciate everybody who comes on. I can't lie. I'm very excited about this. It's been a minute or two since we've had this guest. He is a pitcher for the Astros. He is a World Series champion. He is an American League MVP, a Cy Young Award winner, a Triple Crown winner. He became just the sixth player in MLB history with three no-hitters. He leads the American League in wins, ERA, whip, opponent batting average, and innings pitched. Houston is in first in the AL West. They clinched a postseason spot. They are hosting the Angels tonight at 8:10 p.m. Eastern. Justin Verlander is my guest. Justin, it is great to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. Good to be on, man. It's definitely been a little bit, so happy to be back.
No, it's great to have you back, and I appreciate you doing it. So you beat the Rangers 4-1 Tuesday night in a game where you struck out 8 and 6 innings. That was your 19th win of the season. The team's 99th win of the season. It brings you even closer to 3,000 career strikeouts. Afterwards, you said, quote, "I think there's two ways to think about it. Either we came in and expected to win, or you appreciate the moment." I mean, I know you've got a lot of work to do, but how much are you appreciating this moment?
I definitely am appreciating it. You know, I think, when I was hurt there for a couple of years, 2014 really, and early 2015, I think it helped put some things in perspective for me. It kind of was along the lines of ignorance is bliss the first, 10 years of my career. It just kind of, I was just healthy, and I did work hard, but it just kind of came easy to me. And then kind of like the whole world came crumbling down and had to rethink the whole process, and a lot of hard work went on behind the scenes. So I think, that kind of low point in my career has given me the perspective to really appreciate what I'm able to do right now.
You know, it's amazing what you're doing right now, given where you were back then. You talked about the process. Justin, what was that process like? What was your mindset? What was the process? How were you able to grind through that and get back to where you are right now?
Yeah. Just the competitiveness, the will and the urge to get back. When I got hurt, I ended up having core surgery, and it was a surprise, but at the same time, it was a little bit of a relief because I didn't know why all of a sudden my arm had started hurting, and I didn't really have any answers. And then all of a sudden, at least that was an answer. You know, obviously surgery is never really the answer you want to hear, but it was an answer. So once I had that, it just kind of was like a horse with blinders on running race. You know, it was just like, let me get to the finish line. Let me do everything I can possibly do to get myself back to being healthy and pitching the way I used to. And, it started with, things as little as like learning how to walk like I used to again, like use my feet properly. I mean, from the ground up all the way to my neck, is just kind of like a putting Humpty Dumpty back together again, slowly but surely, I started noticing it in my mechanics, and my pain in my shoulder started to go away, and the velocity started to come back. So, I'm kind of like concising it a lot here, but it was a lot going on behind the scenes, but I'm thankful I was able to put in all that work, and really it kind of, I think, shaped my career moving forward. I learned a lot through that process about my body and how to keep myself maintenanced. And I think that's what's going to continue to allow me to be successful, hopefully, as long as I would like to be.
Justin Verlander is joining us. Yeah, I mean, I understand how you had to condense that answer, but there's a lot in that answer, but in no way would that do justice. The kind of work you had to put in to get back to where you are. I mean, on the one hand, and it's just kind of my take, Justin, when you have the career you've had, an amazing career that you've had, you don't need to put in all that work to get back. But even if you put in all that work to get back, it doesn't guarantee that you're going to get back to what you were or maybe even better than that. Mm-hmm. So how satisfying is it to be the pitcher that you wanted to be and that it has paid off?
Very. Definitely a good feeling. I mean, like I said, I think I don't know if I would appreciate these moments as much had I not gone through that downturn. I remember in spring training in 15, like I remember the moment that I was like, oh, my God, I'm back. It was the last start in spring training against the Toronto Blue Jays. And all of a sudden, like, my body started feeling normal on the mound again. And I'm looking up the radar gun, and it was without effort and without pain, 95, 96. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's it. I'm back. And unfortunately, I ended up straining my lat, like, literally the next inning. So I missed 6 or 7 weeks at the beginning of the season. But in the back of my mind throughout that time, I kind of was like, I got it. Like, I've been throwing so different for the last 2 years that now I got back to throwing like me again, and something hurt that dissuaded me from the mission. And And sure enough, when I got back, I pitched the end of 2015 pretty good. Just nobody noticed because the Tigers at that time, who I was with, we were out of the playoff picture and nothing much was happening. But kind of in my bubble, in my personal bubble, I was like, okay, this feels normal again. And, you know, next thing you know, 2016 was a great year. And people were like, well, where'd that come from? And, well, this is where it did, yeah.
Astros pitcher Justin Verlander. Hey, where did that come from? You just showed up, and look at you. Amazing.
Yeah,
so,
right.
So you joined the Astros. You've gone 40-15 with an ERA of 2.41. You lead all American League pitchers in just about every category that matters over that stretch. What kind of expectations did you have when you joined the Astros, and what has the experience been like for you?
It's been great. You know, I think one of the things I was looking forward to was the information that I could use. I had started doing diving into numbers and analytics with Detroit. But obviously the Astros had been pretty widely known to be the most analytic forward organization in baseball. So they had a head start on the Tigers. So that was one of the things that I kind of came in with a mission to do, was study as much as I could, learn as much as I could. And this is also a product of when I wasn't healthy, because I had to learn many different ways to try to get hitters out. I used to just be able to throw it, you know, 100 when I wanted to, and, you know, break off a breaking ball, and, you know, it worked most of the time. But all of a sudden, when you're not healthy, you realize how hard this game is. So I had a conversation with our then manager, Brad Ausmus, one day, and he was talking to me about my pitch selection. And basically that conversation led down a path of you should look at some numbers a little bit more, instead of kind of the old school, just look at video and just go, you know, just throw your hat out there. And so that kind of started it for me. And, you know, when I got to Houston, that was kind of the first thing I did, was go in and talk to these guys. And I joked with them, saying, I might be the first athlete you've ever had come in and ask for more information, because they give you a lot. But I thought it was an opportunity for me to learn and grow some more.
I'm sure they said, we'll give you as much as you want. We can give you all the information you need. Justin Verlander joining us. You mentioned Brad Ausmus, who I've always had a great deal of respect for. Justin, this is also a huge AJ Hinch house. I've got so much respect for him. I know how much he respects you. What's he been like to play for?
He's been incredible. I think he does an incredible job at being a leader, but also communicating. And I know that seems easy, But I think it's one of the hardest things as a manager to do, is to kind of have your players be at ease and know you're the manager, but also be able to communicate in a friendly atmosphere. And, you know, I think he does an incredible job running the team. I think he does a great job blending the feel of the game. I mean, obviously he was a catcher in the major league, so he has a great feel, and also blending the analytics. And I think that's what a team that is analytically driven needs. I think they need somebody who can use their feel of the game and just trust their instincts out there. I think that's what's one of the things that's led me to have success, is I'm not all in. I'm not going to cookie cut the way I pitch out there based on numbers. I'm going to trust my instincts, but I'm going to try to blend them with information.
Justin Verlander joins me for another moment or so. Listen, I'm on the outside looking in, but from where I'm sitting, it's a fascinating clubhouse. There's that legendary story now about you seeing Alex Bregman in the clubhouse last year and asking him how much he slept every night. When he said 6 hours, you told him, come on, man, you need more. You need 10. He thought that was way too much, but then he commits to it and he starts to crush the ball. When did you first discover the power of sleep and how valuable it is to you?
To be honest, man, it's just kind of I've been pretty fortunate my whole career. I just kind of listen to my body and whatever makes me feel good. And if I was going to sleep, you know, our schedule is pretty crazy. You know, you get done with a baseball game, you get home at 11, 1130 and you're still pretty wired. So I was finding myself going to sleep at, 2 o'clock, 2:30, and I just wouldn't set an alarm. And next thing you know, I'm waking up at noon, 12:30. And it's like, okay, well, I just slept for 10 hours, but man, I feel great. My body feels great. So that kind of started it. And then I started doing some research, because it's like, am I sleeping too much? Is this like too late to wake up? And the more research I did, the more I started to find that some other elite athletes in the world have really focused on sleep. And that's kind of when I decided to really take it and focus on something as my recovery, because I think unless unless you're one of those athletes that chooses to go another route, I think sleep is one of the most important things you can do to recover, and it's one of the only things you can do to really recover naturally. So that was kind of the beginning of it for me, and I've been talking to guys ever since. You know, some of the young guys like Bregman, we were having breakfast, and I overheard him saying how little sleep he got, and I kind of asked him why. And he's like, well, I just always heard that this is what you're supposed to get. And I that kind of spurred the conversation. I'm like, well, Alex, that's what you're supposed to get if you're a regular person who, doesn't put their body through as much stress as you. So you need to probably rethink that a little bit. And I showed him some information and, got to get hats off to Breggy. He was willing to try it. And sure enough, it coincided with him going off a little bit. So I don't want to take credit for him going off, but I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah, he's done all right. I mean, that's advice that that's information he took, Justin, and he ran with it really quickly. I really appreciate your time, but I got to get your thoughts on him. You've been around every kind of guy, every kind of player, every kind of mentality, every kind of approach. I'm so fascinated by Bregman, like where he started, how he came up, his belief in himself, what he brings to it in terms of skill set. In terms of being a pros pro, a baseball player, a guy who gets after it, what kind of marks do you give him?
Man, a 10 out of 10. It's just incredible to see his work ethic. He gets to the park every day. He's one of the first ones there. And it's not just like just be there, just to be there. He's there studying. He's there trying to get every single possible advantage he can, studying himself, studying the other team, studying the pitchers. And he makes everybody around him better. And I think that's the ultimate compliment for a teammate, is when they don't just make themselves better, they make the team better.
He is a World Series champion, an American League MVP, a Cy Young Award winner, a Triple Crown winner. He did throw his third no-hitter. I can go on and on. The Astros are in first in the West. They clinched a postseason spot. Justin, that's why I was looking forward to that. It's been a long time. It is so good to hear your voice and have you back on this show, and I can't say how much I appreciate that. That was tremendous.
Thanks for having me on, Jim. Always a pleasure.
You too. Justin Verlander. Justin, thanks so much. Really did enjoy that very much. That was so good. That was worth the wait. All right, so my thanks to the Astros and Justin Verlander especially. Great, great conversation. Told you I had some good ones today. We had Deion Jones, and I mentioned you could hear his pride, his strength, his commitment, his grit coming through the phone. Justin, the ultimate professional. Yeah, like he said, I had to condense the answer. You can only imagine what he had to go through to rebuild himself. He said, I had to learn how to walk again. It's like putting Humpty Dumpty back together again. And not only did he do that, even the time he spent, which he did not have to spend, he already had an amazing career. Committing to that time is one thing, but it guarantees nothing. It doesn't mean you'll get back to where you were, and he did. He's pitching as well right now in an era where the ball is jumping out of the yard. He's pitching as well right now as he ever has. A tribute and a credit to his work ethic and his determination. Matt Olson, next hour. I want to finish the thought on Tom Brady. Brady watched the same game we did last night. Brady thought the same things we thought last night. But normally that's where it stops. He actually tweeted the same things that we tweeted last night. Brady. I didn't believe it. My man Beowulf, a.k.a. Gardner, son of Flint. The only better name than Gardner Minshew is Flint Minshew. What an amazing family. I love these people. And apparently I'm not the only one. people are now trying to back up the Brinks truck and throw money at Gardner. You can't say yes to everything. In fact, it's smart not to say yes to everything. Let's get you a sports update. Here you go.
This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're Justin Verlander, bro. You don't have to be that humble. You don't have to be that great a guy, but he is. That is such a great conversation. I mean, that's as interesting a guy. I mean, that's Sandy Koufax. But then again, Koufax is that humble too. That's that interesting of a guy who shows up that engaged and does an interview like that. That was so much fun. Damn, Rome, you really like that. Yes, I really like that. So good to have him back. So my thanks once again to Justin Verlander. And I'm awed by what he's accomplished, what he worked his way back from, what he's accomplished, how he's doing it right now, and in a time, in an era when the ball is just jumping out of the yard, he's as dominant as he's ever been and came back from rock bottom physically and rebuilt himself. Next time you want to grab a protein snack, ditch the drinks, ditch the bars, grab a bag of Old Trapper beef jerky. It's tender, it's tasty, it's real beef that rocks your craving for a snack which satisfies. Ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? I do it. We've got so much of it. We rock it hard every day. All right, so it's Friday. It's Friday. Yesterday was Thursday. Tomorrow is Saturday. We're on to Cincinnati.
We're on to Cincinnati.
I didn't know anything about Antonio Brown. It's Friday.
Seattle.
Yeah, why would I know about what happened to Antonio Brown? I'm not on Snapface.
Snapface.
Or Instamy. Snapface.
Instant shot.
All right, so it's Friday. And normally on Friday, I like to go off the board. Not the entire program, but maybe for a segment or a rant. Mix it up. Maybe even give you something that I know you want me to talk about. I'm careful about doing that. But on a Friday, on occasion, I will do that. Today is one of those days. Now, today I do have several choices, way too many choices. Let me start off by telling you what it is I'm not willing to talk about before I get to what I am willing to talk about. Here's what I am not willing to talk about. I am not willing to talk about the two Amish teenagers who were pulled over in a horse buggy in Ohio for riding around and slugging brewskis from a 12-pack. I know you want me to talk about that because you've hit me up. On email especially. I'm not going to get into it. I'm not going to get into how they evaded police despite being in a horse-drawn buggy. It's an odd story. I love horses. But in no way do I condone or want to promote drinking and bugging. If there's one thing this show has always been against, and I'm on record, and I've made it clear over the years, and I've long been on record, I am clearly against BUIs. BUIs. Either give the reins to somebody sober or telegraph for a hot air balloon, but never, ever, and I mean ever, buggy under the influence. I'm not making light of that either. The next story that I'm sure that you want me to talk about, that I'm not going to talk about, and I hesitate to even bring up, is the story involving Roseanne Barr, proudly admitting to Daily Mail TV that she recently transferred some of her stomach fat to her backside in an attempt to look like a Kardashian. I know how badly you all want me to read her quote, where she said, quote, "I just basically have a crack in my back." I'm not going there. I'm not saying that. I'm not doing that. Her body, her choice, her back. My show. My choice is not to talk about that. So let's just keep right on moving. Now, what I am willing to talk about is Jaguar quarterback Gardner Minshew and his newfound fame and some of the opportunities that are presenting themselves now because of it. One in particular, a seven-figure endorsement offer. Notice I said offer, not a deal, offer, because Gardner is yet to accept. And he probably won't. And he shouldn't. Or maybe he should, when you consider how much money is on the table. Let me lay this out. And before I do, let me remind everybody, this is not a show for kids. Never has been, never will be. I understand a lot of you drive around with kids in the car. Keep that in mind. I'm a dad. I get it. I empathize. I understand. Let me tell you right now, this story features adult content. It may not be suitable for the junior high carpool. Do you understand? Good. I'm not going to mention the company by name because that's their entire point with their offer to Gardner. But an adult entertainment website has written to Minshew asking him to do some work for their webcam department. The pornographic website came across the now viral story that Gardner has a pregame stretching routine where he typically performs in nothing but a jockstrap, sometimes with nothing at all. Part of their offer to Gardner is that he lead a weekly exercise class live on webcam wearing nothing but said jockstrap. The other part of the offer is he becomes a brand ambassador for their new line of... All right, so how do I put this? How do I put what they want him to promote? I'm trying to think of the best way to put this. Penis puppets. They have a brand of penis puppets. So right now that website sells costumes for the male package. It includes a vampire, an elephant, even a watermelon. So if Gardner agrees to the endorsement deal, they will be releasing a Jaguar puppet this Halloween in accordance. If he does not agree to the deal, the website said they would make the same offer to his teammate Nick Foles. Foles has a widely known gloss around the league that makes him equally as relevant to the adult website, and I will leave it at that. First thing, few things here. First, notice I did not give the name of the website. There is a reason for that. Once a year, some adult film company or a strip club will offer an outlandish promotion or an endorsement deal to a pro athlete, pretty much knowing that they won't say yes, just to get attention and run from people in my business. It's a brilliant tactic, which leads to free advertising. I'm wise to it. I understand that racket. I'm not going to play that game. So, whether Minshew accepts or not, people still talk about it, and all of a sudden, you have all this exposure for a website, and it's in a bunch of new places, and they didn't pay a dime for it. You know, unlike Jerry Jones, I'll be honest, I'm going to sell my advertising. I will sell it. I'm not going to give it away. The thing is, the target demo for those websites is pretty similar to the target demo for sports talk radio. So I'm not going to participate. I'm not giving away free advertising. That's not how we do it. But I want to make one point, because that's what this comes down to, right? Money. Gardner Minshew is making $495K this year. He's a sixth-round draft pick. He's on that rookie deal for several years. $500K is pretty good money, right? Really good money. But this adult website is offering to double that for a weekly naked exercise class and some puppet promotion. Like Nick Foles is making $22 million a year to rehab a collarbone right now. Offering that guy another mil to webcam nude is a non-starter. But offering it to a guy who's never seen that kind of money before and who's making $500K and could go from $500K to $1.5 million a year might be something he might think about. Like, I'm sure there's a long-term play here, and he'll say, I'm going to make it back. But it's the NFL. Your next step on the field could be your last. You imagine getting 67% of your income from porn and 33% from the NFL. Again, nothing's guaranteed in that league. NFL, not for long. Your health status can change in a second. Ask Alex Smith. Ask Drew Brees. Ask Cam Newton. Ask Ben Roethlisberger. Ask Sam Darnold. Ask Trevor Siemian. Ask Nick Foles. The difference between those guys and Gardner Minshew is those guys were all multi-millionaires. I would never tell Beowulf what to do, but I'd be lying if I said that the idea of him asking Tom Coughlin for permission to promote puppets wouldn't be amazing. Because it would be. What if Coughlin told him, Yeah, that's fine. But that webcam exercise class, if it starts on time, son, you're late. My man, your moneymaker is not south of the border. It is north of your lip. Go find a mustache wax company and sign with that instead. Nobody wants you to hawk penis puppets. Stay tuned out.